Part 2. In Search of the Concepcion. October 15, 1998. Callao, Peru. Chapter 14. Peru's principal seaport, Callao, was founded by Francisco Pizarro in 1537 and quickly became the main shipping port for the gold and silver plundered from the Inca Empire. Appropriately, the port itself was plundered by Francis Drake 41 years later. Spain's conquest of Peru ended almost at the spot where it had begun. The last of the Spanish forces surrendered to Simón Bolívar at Callao in 1825, and Peru became a sovereign nation for the first time since the fall of the Incas. Now joined with Lima as one sprawling metropolitan area, the combined cities host a population of nearly 6.5 million. Situated on the west bank of the Andes along the lowlands, Callao and Lima have an annual rainfall of only 41 millimeters, 1.5 inches, making the surrounding land area one of the Earth's chilliest and driest deserts in the lower latitudes. Winter fog supports thin ground cover and mesquite and little else. The only water, besides excessive humidity, flows down several streams and the Rimac River from the Andes. After rounding the northern tip of San Lorenzo, the large offshore island that protects Callao's natural maritime shelter, Captain Stewart ordered slow speed as a launch came alongside the deep fathom, and the harbor pilot jumped onto a boarding ladder and climbed on board. Once the pilot steered the ship safely inside the main channel, Captain Stewart took command of the bridge again and adroitly eased the big research ship to a stop beside the dock of the main passenger terminal. Under his watchful eye, the mooring lines were slipped over big rusty bollards. Then he shut down his automatic control system, rang his chief engineer, and told him that he was through with the engines. Everyone lining the ship's rail was surprised to see over 1,000 people jamming the dock. Along with an armed military security force and a large contingent of police, TV news cameras and press photographers quickly began jockeying for position as the gangway was lowered. Beyond the news media stood a group of smiling government officials, and behind them the happily waving parents of the archaeology students. "Still no Dixieland band playing Waiting for the Robert E. Lee," Pitt said, feigning a disappointed tone. "Nothing like a cheering populace to snap one out of depression," said Giordino, gazing at the unexpected reception. "I never expected so grand a turnout," murmured Shannon in awe. "I can't believe word spread so fast." Miles Rogers lifted one of three cameras hung around his neck and began shooting. "Looks to me like half the Peruvian government turned out." The dock was filled with an air of excitement. Small children were waving Peruvian and American flags. A roar came from the crowd as the archaeology students climbed out on the bridge wing and began waving and shouting as they recognized their parents. Only Stewart looked uneasy.
"My God, I hope they all don't expect a storm aboard my ship."
"Too many borders to repel," Giordino shrugged. "Better to haul down your flag and plead for mercy." "I told you my students came from influential families," said Shannon happily. Unnoticed by the crowd, a small man wearing glasses and carrying a briefcase expertly squeezed through the milling throng and slipped around the cordon of security guards. He bounded up the still-lowering gangway before anyone could stop him and leaped onto the deck with the elated expression of a running back who had just crossed a goal line. He approached Pitt and Giordino and grinned. "Why is it prudence and discretion are beyond your talents?"
"We try not to fly in the face of public opinion," Pitt said, before smiling broadly and embracing the little man. "Good to see you, Rudy."
"Seems we can't get away from you," said Giordino warmly.
Rudy Gunn, the deputy director of NUMA, shook Stewart's hand and was introduced to Shannon and Rogers. "Will you excuse me if I borrow these two rogues before the welcoming ceremonies?" he asked graciously.
Without waiting for an answer, he stepped through a hatch and walked down an alleyway with ease. Gunn had helped design the Deep Fathom, and was very familiar with the ship's deck layout. He stopped before the doorway to the conference room, opened it, and entered. He went directly to the head of a long table and fished through his briefcase for a yellow legal pad filled with notations as Pitt and Giordino settled into a pair of leather chairs. Though Giordino and Gunn were both short, they were as unlike as a gibbon and a bulldog. While Gunn was as slight as a girl, Giordino was a huge walking muscle. They also differed in brain power. Giordino was shrewd and street-smart. Gunn was sheer genius. Number one in his class at the Naval Academy, and a former Navy commander who could easily have ascended to a top staff job in the Navy Department, he preferred the underwater science of Pneuma to the science of warfare. Extremely nearsighted, he peered through heavy horn-rimmed glasses, but never missed the slightest movement within 200 yards. Pitt was the first to speak. "Why the frenzy to send Al and me back to that rotten sinkhole to retrieve a body?" "The request came from U.S. Customs. They made an urgent appeal to Admiral Sandecker to borrow his best men." "And that includes you?" "I could have begged off, claiming my present projects would grind to a stop without my presence. The Admiral would not have hesitated to send someone else. But a canary let slip your little unauthorized mission to find a lost galleon in the wilds of Ecuador."
"Hiram Yeager," Pitt supplied. "I should have remembered you two are as close as Frank and Jesse James."
"I couldn't resist dumping the routine of Washington to mix a little business with adventure, so I volunteered for the dirty job of briefing and joining you on the customs project."
"You mean you sold Sandecker a bill of goods and skipped town?" said Pitt.
"Mercifully for everyone involved, he doesn't know about the hunt for the galleon. At least, not yet."
"He's not an easy man to fool," said Giordino seriously.
"Not for very long," added Pitt. "He's probably already on to you."
Gunn waved a hand indifferently.
"You two are on safe ground, better me than some poor fool unfamiliar with your escapades. Anyone else in the Pneuma bureaucracy might overestimate your abilities."
Giordino made a surly face. "And we call him a friend?"
"What can Pneuma do for customs that's so special?" asked Pitt.
Gunn spread a sheaf of papers on the table.
"The issue is complex, but involves the plunder of ancient art."
"Isn't that a little out of our line? Our business is underwater exploration and research."
"Destruction for the purpose of looting underwater archaeological sites is our business," Gunn stated earnestly.
"Where does recovering Dr. Miller's body enter the picture?"
"Only the first step of our cooperation with customs. The murder of a world-renowned anthropologist is the bedrock of their case. They suspect the killer is a high-level member of an international looting syndicate, and they need proof for an indictment. They also hope to use the killer as a key to unlock the door leading to the masterminds of the entire theft and smuggling operation. As for the sacred well, customs and Peruvian authorities believe a vast cache of artifacts was raised from the bottom and has already been shipped to black market receiving stations around the world. Miller discovered the theft and was terminated to shut him up. They want us, you and Al in particular, to search the floor of the well for evidence."
"And our plan to explore for the lost galleon?"
"Complete the job on the well, and I'll authorize a small budget out of Pneuma to fund your search. That's all I can promise."
"And if the Admiral shoots you down?" asked Giordino.
Gunn shrugged.
"He's my boss as well as yours. I'm an old Navy man. I follow orders."
"I'm old Air Force," Pitt replied. "I question them."
"Worry about it when the time comes," said Giordino. "Let's get the sinkhole probe out of the way."
Pitt took a deep breath and relaxed in his chair.
"Might as well do something useful while Yeager and Perlmutter conduct their research. They should have some solid leads by the time we stumble out of the jungle."
"There is one more request from the customs agents," said Gunn.
"What the hell else do they have on their want list?" demanded Pitt roughly.
A dive orgy for souvenirs thrown off cruise ships by tourists afraid of customs inspectors?
Nothing so mundane, Gunn explained patiently. They also insist that you return to the Pueblo de los Muertos.
They must think artifacts sitting in the rain qualify as underwater stolen goods, Giardino said with acidic humor.
The customs people are in dire need of an inventory.
Of the artifacts in the temple? Pitt asked incredulously. Do they expect an indexed catalog?
There must be close to 1,000 items stacked inside whatever is left of the temple after the mercenaries finished blowing it all to hell.
They need archaeologists to sort through the hoard, not marine engineers.
The Peruvian investigative police have investigated and reported that most of the artifacts were removed from the temple soon after you escaped, explained Gunn. International customs agents need descriptions so they can identify the artifacts should they begin to show up at antique auctions or in private collections, galleries, and museums in affluent first-world countries. They hope that a return trip to the scene of the crime will jog your memories.
Events were moving too fast for a quick tally.
Gunn nodded in understanding.
But certain objects must have stuck in your mind, especially the outstanding pieces.
What about you, Al?
I was busy prowling the ruins for a radio, said Giardino. I didn't have time to examine the stuff.
Pitt held his hands to his head and massaged his temples. I might be able to recall 15 or 20 items that stood out.
Can you sketch them?
I'm a miserable artist, but I think I can draw reasonably accurate pictures. No need to visit the place again. I can just as well illustrate what I remember while lounging by a swimming pool at a resort hotel.
Sounds sensible to me, Giardino said cheerfully.
No, Gunn said, it's not sensible.
Your job goes much deeper.
As much as it turns my stomach, you two middle-aged delinquents are Peruvian national heroes. Not only are you in demand with the Customs Service, the State Department wants a piece of you.
Giardino stared at Pitt. One more manifestation of Giardino's list of laws. Any man who volunteers for a rescue mission becomes a victim.
What does the State Department have to do with us making a round trip to the temple? Pitt demanded.
Since the South American Free Trade Treaty, the petroleum and mining industries have been denationalized. Several American companies are currently completing negotiations to help Peru better exploit its natural resources. The country desperately needs foreign investment, and the money is ready to pour in. The catch is that labor unions and the opposition parties of the legislature are against foreign involvement in their economy. By saving the lives of sons and daughters of the local VIPs, you and Al indirectly influenced a number of votes.
All right, so we give a speech at the local Elks Club and accept a certificate of merit.
Fine as far as it goes, said Gunn. But State Department experts and the Congressional Committee on Latin American Affairs think you both should hang around and make the dirty Yankees look good by helping to halt the looting of Peru's cultural heritage.
In other words, our esteemed government wants to milk our benevolent image for all it's worth, said Pitt stonily.
Something along those lines.
And Sandecker agreed to it.
Goes without saying, Gunn assured him. The Admiral never misses a chance to stroke Congress if it can lead to more funding for NUMA's future operations.
Who is going in with us?
Dr. Alberto Ortiz from the National Institute of Culture in Chiclayo will supervise the archaeological team. He'll be assisted by Dr. Kelsey.
Without reliable protection, we'll be asking for trouble.
The Peruvians have assured us they will send in a highly trained security force to control the valley.
But are they trustworthy?
I don't want an encore by an army of rogue mercenaries.
Nor me, Giardino agreed firmly.
Gunn made a helpless gesture.
I can only pass on what I was told.
We'll need better equipment than what we took in on our last trip.
Give me a list and I'll handle the logistics.
Pitt turned to Giardino.
Do you get the distinct impression we've been had?
As near as I can tell, said the stocky Italian, this makes about 437 times.
Pitt did not look forward to a repeat dive in the sinkhole. There was a haunted aura about it,
something evil in its depths. The yawning cavity gaped in his mind as though it were the mouth of the devil. The imagery was so irrational that he tried to erase it from his mind. But the vision would not go away. It clung like the vague memory of a repugnant nightmare.